I have the privilege today to introduce our speaker. Some of you will remember Sandra Shaner, who spoke to us in an inspiring message last month. Today, her topic is going to be an appropriate one for the day. It's Jesus and Mary. Sandra, thank you.
Ni hao. I hope that was right. I just want to thank you so much for asking me to come back, especially for a beautiful day like Mother's Day. Even though it's raining outside, it's still a beautiful day celebrating mothers. Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to those of you that have little bitty babies at home, for those of you that have little toddlers, for those of you that have children from toddler's age on up into college and adulthood. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, and let's don't leave out godmothers. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who have no children but have motherly instincts. That would be me. I'd be one of those. Have motherly instincts towards their family and their friends and those little pets maybe at home. And even to our husbands, even though our husbands sometimes they just don't like that motherly instinct that we give them. You know, but we just can't help it, right? God gave us that. As early as 250 BC, Greece and Rome were celebrating a mother goddess. In Rome, her name was Cybele or Cybele. When they celebrated in Rome, they celebrated this goddess for 3 days on the Ides of March, the March 15, 16, 17. If you will, come back with me now, 2,000 years, to a village that we're all familiar with, Nazareth. And we know that Jesus was raised there. And if you would, think of Jesus of anywhere between the age of 16 and 21. Now, we know that Jesus was fully human. If you pinched him, if I came over and pinched you, you'd feel it. He felt it. So he was fully human, and he was also fully God. He lived in Nazareth with Joseph, Mary, his 4 brothers, and at least 2 sisters. I'm sure that he knew of the celebration in Rome of this goddess when that was going on. I'm sure that he also knew the 5th commandment, honor your father and your mother. And he might have even known of Proverbs 31:28, which says, and her children shall arise and call her blessed. Now, knowing all that, let's think about how Jesus might have honored Mary, since he was fully human and he obeyed the commandments, and how he might have blessed her. And let's just say that she's in her home by herself one day. And he's thinking about this festival that's going on for 3 days. And he walks over to his mom. He grabs her around the shoulder. He pulls her up to him. And he says, you know, Mom, I am so glad you decided to have me. I am so thankful that you decided to obey God. I mean, we've got people over in Rome that are celebrating a person who doesn't even live, a woman who doesn't even live. And I have here right in my arms a woman that was favored by God. And not only favored, highly favored by God. I love you, Mom. Thank you. Gives her a kiss on the cheek or a kiss on the forehead and looks in those eyes of hers. Maybe that's a way that he honored her. Like that's how we honor our mother, is by telling her verbally, whether it's Mother's Day or not, how much she means to us, how special she is, and how proud we are of her. Or maybe he did something like, okay, I think today Mom won't do any cooking. She's not going to cook. And so he says, don't worry about it, Mom. And being fully God, he might have just snapped his fingers. Who knows what he might have done to get the food on the table for everybody. But he gave her a day off with cooking. And now, today, the National Restaurant Association, it's been in business since 1919, it's taken, you know, a little survey, and Mother's Day is the most popular day of the year for dining out. So we take our mothers out quite often instead of us cooking at home for them. So that's a way he might have honored his mother. Similar to how we would, maybe. I mean, he was fully human. Or he might have done something kind of mysterious for her. Something that she'd kind of have to guess about as to what's going on. And let's say that his mother was really close to her mother, that Mary was really close with her mother. And let's say that her mother and dad had left Nazareth and they'd been gone for like 3 months. They were coming back, but they'd been gone for a long time. 3 months to her was a long time. Mary loved her mother's eyes because her mother's eyes were brown, which was not unusual for Jewish people. But when Mary looked in her mother's eyes, she saw little specks of gold. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any brown eyes like that before, but I have, and they're fascinating, and they're beautiful. These little, when the light shines on their eyes, and these little glimmers of gold come from their eyes that are brown. This was really special to her. She was missing her mother. And let's say she goes into her home, and she sees a rock on the floor. And she thinks to herself, if I've told those kids once, I have told them 1,000 times, don't come into this house with those sandals on and your pebbles in your shoes and the dust and the little rock that might be there that you shake out in the house. I don't want any rocks in the house. But she goes and she picks it up. She looks at it and it looks different. And she goes and takes it into the sun and it's glimmering. And what she sees are little specks of gold and this plain old brown rock. And it reminds her of her mother. And it gives her a warm feeling in her heart. And she looks over in the corner, and there's standing Jesus with the grin on his face. It was mysterious for her. He did something a little different for her, just for her. And he honored her by doing that, like we do little special things for our mothers that they wonder, well, how did that happen? Now, there's a true story about a woman named Mona who lives in Michigan. As far as I know, she still lives there. And she had four children. And her oldest son lived in Texas. He developed muscular dystrophy. And she was very close to her son, even though they were far apart. And a couple of things that she really liked about him is that he loved balloons. And she didn't know why, but he had loved balloons ever since he was a kid. And they really made him feel, I guess, lighthearted. And that's why he liked these light balloons in all different colors. So he liked the balloons, and he also called her quite often during the week. And the last three words he would say to her before he would hang up always would be, love you, Mom. Love you, Mom. Love you, Mom. And she loved hearing those words, of course. He died in 1993. When he died, the grief was so intense in her heart, she didn't know what to do with it. And I'm sure you've experienced some type of grief in your life where your heart hurts. And you don't know what to do with the hurt. And you'd like to rip it out of you, but you can't. Now, a lot of people do many different things, as we know, for the pain to subside, you know, with the liquor and the, you know, workaholics or whatever else that they use to make this pain go away. But this woman was a Christian woman. She read her Bible. She went to church. She had Christian friends. She loved the Lord, but she couldn't get this any sense of peace in her heart. So 1995 rolls around, and it's Mother's Day. It's in the morning. She wakes up. She goes and prepares her coffee. She takes it into the dining room where there's a big picture window that overlooks the backyard. She's got her Bible on the table and the newspaper, and she is taking a sip of coffee and happens to look out the window. And as she does, she sees what looks like a balloon floating in the air. And she's thinking, well, am I seeing this? Is that really a balloon? I guess somebody just, you know, accidentally lost it or whatever. But she notices that it keeps coming closer to her, and it keeps coming closer to her. And so the curiosity in her really gets to her, and so she gets up, she goes outside, and the balloon's just practically in her backyard, practically in her hands. But she goes over and she stands on her tiptoes, and she lifts the balloon down, and it happens to be in the shape of a big heart. And all around the heart are these pretty flowers, all different colors of yellows and pinks and violets, the colors that she likes. And in the middle of this balloon are the words, "Love you, Mom." Now, could be a coincidence, but Mona didn't think so. She felt like that the Lord had allowed that balloon to come to her to show her how much her son still loved her in heaven. And she said that for the first time in 2 years, a peace and a relaxation came into her heart. The pain was still there, but the pain was now balanced out by our Lord. And he did that specifically for her. He did something special for her on Mother's Day. And who knows, maybe her son went up to her in heaven, went up to Jesus in heaven, and said, "Jesus, listen, we ought to do something about Mom down here. She's just grieving herself to death." We don't know. We don't know what goes on in heaven with our relatives and with Jesus. You know, but Mona, she's got that balloon now. It's all flat. She's got it on her wall. And she is handling her grief much, much better. Special things that happen that honor our mothers. Now, there's something else that can honor our mother, and that is mysterious also, and it's called forgiveness. This story is not quite as happy as that one, or the ending that it had. This story is about starts with a young girl about 11 or 12 years old. And her mother and her grandmother are together. The grandmother's visiting. And this is the mother's mother, okay? So the daughter is in her room, and she hears this loud voices. And they sound like they're angry at one another. And so she comes out of her room to see what's going on, and there's now yelling going on. And the next thing she knows, her grandmother has picked up her keys and is walking out the door to go home. Her mother has followed the grandmother and is saying something to her at the back door. The grandmother turns around and looks at the little girl's mother. She points her finger at her, and she says, "Some of these days, she will hate you. You mark my words." And she turns around, gets in the car, and leaves. Now, the little girl had an inkling that this might have had something to do with her. But, you know, she wasn't sure what all this was about. But time went on, and the little girl becomes a young woman of 21 and 22 and 23. And the young woman has in her heart a true bitterness and anger towards her mother. There's no honor for her mother. There's no blessing for her mother. The young woman feels like that she has every right to be angry at her mother. And you know, there's something about youth that's a good thing. It's called energy. And that energy, it is so intense when we believe, when I can remember when I was young, when we believe that something is right or something is wrong, we stand behind it a lot of times in a fierce way to fight for it. And so this young woman was fighting for her anger. And she told the Lord, she said, I don't understand why you put me with her. And you know that what she did was wrong. I have every right to be angry and mad at her. And you want me to forgive? How am I supposed to forgive that? What do I do with this in my heart? So time goes on, and the mother and the daughter, they have a fight, and they don't speak for like a year and a half. Finally, the mother breaks down, and on the daughter's birthday, sends her a bonsai tree from a florist. And that got them at least talking again. But in that year and a half, there was no call made from the daughter to the mother on Mother's Day, on Christmas, on any day. And she would have never talked to her again as far as she was concerned. But she broke down and called her mother, and they started again. Well, time went on. And one night, the mother's talking to the daughter and says to her, you know, when you were growing up, I was a bully. And she said, now I know what it is to be bullied. And you know, the young woman did not feel a sense of, well, it's about time that you admitted how wrong you are. It's about time you admitted your faults. The young woman didn't feel that for her mother. Instead, she felt a compassion for her and a sorrow for her that she was having to go through being bullied now. But when that happened, that young woman saw in her mother, for the first time, courage. For it takes courage to admit the smaller side of us, the petty side, the side we don't want to announce in the paper for everybody to read. And the daughter found that slowly forgiveness was coming around and healing in her heart. Now, that's how God handled that with this woman, this young woman. And when the woman asked the Lord, how do I forgive? He started this process. And he's so individual for each of us. When we just ask, he somehow works things out in our life for each of us differently to come to the same thing, forgiveness. And if you think about it, for the mother to call the daughter on the daughter's birthday, that was forgiveness. They hadn't spoken in a year and a half. So forgiveness had almost made a circle. And as time went on, the young woman found she admired more and more and more things about her mother because the forgiveness was less and less and less. And now she didn't have on blinders because of unforgiveness. You know, Jesus was asked, and I think it was by Peter. He was asked, well, how many times do we have to forgive? And you remember Jesus said what? 70? Yeah, 70 times 7. Well, that's 490. We know that, right? So what have we got here? Okay, I have forgiven you 489 times. You got one forgiveness left. Is that what we do with that? No. We know that in the Bible that the number 7 means completeness. It means done. It means finished. And that's complete, and that's what God wants us to do with forgiveness, is to completely forgive. And that takes some time, but it can be done. You talk about mysterious. That is mysterious how it opens up relationships with people. Our God just always knows what he's talking about. Isn't it just amazing? So at any rate, so forgiveness happened with this young woman and her mother. Now, let's get back to Jesus and Mary. Jesus might have, to honor his mother and bless his mother, he might have gone out and picked some wildflowers, a whole big bunch of them, brought them back to her and put them in a vase, one of those little clay vases, and watering it and hope it didn't leak. And flowers have been a way that we have shown people honor and love and thoughtfulness for many years now. And I'm sure that most of you know that a woman named Anna Jarvis is the person who started Mother's Day, like in 1908. She's the one who really pushed for Woodrow Wilson to establish it, within our country. And the very first Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis bought for everyone in her church a white carnation. And the reason she bought the white carnation is because it was her mother's favorite flower and her mother had passed away. The florist picked that up, and it started becoming a tradition that at church, if a woman wore a white carnation, it meant that her mother had passed away. And if she wore a red or a pink carnation, it meant that her mother was still alive. Well, now I went to the florist and I tried to get wrist corsages. You can tell I'm wearing here. I tried to get a white carnation and a red. And he didn't have any carnations. He said they're not popular flowers anymore. So what he did is he made up a wrist corsage for me of roses. The reason that I picked the white rose is because of my mother has passed and my mother-in-law has passed. And I usually don't put a color, a pink or red, with my white flower because, they are past. However, this time I decided to put pink because, they are alive, both of them, in my heart and in my mind and in heaven. And that is my way of honoring both of my loved ones today. Now, I have here a poem called In Passing. And I like this poem because it has a double meaning. And I think you will get the double meaning as I read it. In Passing by Del A. Jones. Sometimes Mom, in passing, would pat me on the back. And sometimes, in passing, she'd show me the right track. Sometimes Mom, in passing, would say, "You sure look nice." And sometimes in passing, she could make me think twice. Sometimes Mom in passing would lightly touch my hair. And sometimes in passing, she'd show me what was fair. Sometimes Mom in passing would ask, "What do you mean?" And sometimes in passing, she would get in between. Sometimes Mom in passing would give me that look. And sometimes, in passing, would give me what it took. But this time, Mom is passing from this world to the best. And this time, in passing, she'll pass the final test. And when Mom has passed, and the pain is so unkind, I'll just look, and I'll find her there in my heart and in my mind. And that's In Passing. And when our Savior was on the cross and he was passing from this physical body into his resurrection body, he used his motherly instinct to show care for his mother to make sure she was going to be taken care of. Where we read earlier, where John would take her on as his own mother and she would look at him as her son. A motherly instinct. That's what our God has for us. And we find that in verses like Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." Motherly instinct. Psalm 91:4. "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." Motherly instinct. And in Luke, we've heard this many times, I'm sure. "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, please forgive me if I use this too loosely, this scripture, because I know that at times we do put our names in Scripture. But I have thought when I was looking at this and meditating on it, I thought before, has God ever said, Oh, Sandra, what did you do? I sent people to you to guide you, to give you advice, to help you, to give you encouragement, to help make you strong, to tell you what I wanted you to hear, and you were not willing to listen. You sent them away. You told them to go fly a kite. Or, oh, Nancy, I've sent people to you. Wake up. Hear what they're saying. Listen. I want to say something to you. Be willing to open up. And it works the same with guys. Oh, Johnny, what are you doing? Why are you not willing? One more thing that someone said, Ken Geyer, and if you'll use your imagination again, and for you guys, this might not be as cool as a woman won't have much trouble with this, but if you would, picture yourself sitting on your couch in your living room and Jesus right next to you. Or maybe standing up, and he's standing right next to you. And he'd have to be taller because, you see, you're going to lean your face on his chest. You're going to lean your face, your head, up against his chest. And you're going to hear his heart beating, a rhythm that's so steady and so strong. And listen to what this man says. Love comes while we rest against our God's chest. Joy comes when we catch the rhythms of his heart. Peace comes when we live in harmony with those rhythms of our God's, our very own God's heart. And so today, I say to you, of course, Happy Mother's Day. But I also say, Take the rhythms of our God. Be willing to hear what he says to you individually. And take that into your heart and extend it out to others on Christmas Day, on Easter Day, on Thanksgiving Day, on Father's Day, on Mother's Day, on any day. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Mother's Day. Lord, we thank you for mothers. You are such a gracious God to help us in all so many different kinds of ways. We love you, Lord, and we want to serve you, and we want to glorify you. And Lord, you know, we're not even close to being the best of who we can be without you. You're the one who really makes us who we are and what you want us to be on this earth. Thank you again for Jesus dying on the cross for us. In your holy name, amen.